Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
This is the fewest points allowed by the Celtics in the playoff game since 2010. Pacers back to the drawing board.
You're not giving Celtics any credit right now. You're not giving Boston any credit for turning it up in the third quarter.
What are you doing right now? Kyle, I'm talking about the X Factor.
DeBrusk already wants a piece of him. We've seen this happening. Cadre doesn't like it.
Jake DeBrusk has been something else this series.
What about a penalty?
The referees, I don't just got their whistle show far shoved up the rear end.
Look at that, you're hitting me.
Many doubted we'd ever see it, but here it is. The return to glory.
Tiger is back on top.
Good job, Tiger.
Ricker, the right fielder, made the catch, and that ends the game. And the homestand, which ends at a disappointing 3-3 as the Red Sox and Orioles split this four-game series.
Right now.
Who's more talented than Christian Ford?
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, body. Nobody.
Hey, we're at the
absolutely nobody.
Lenox Hotel. How many floors are there? I could find 15 floors of people more talented. Than
please,
Christian
in your dreams.
You
hey, me? why don't you leave and go look, and we'll see how we do without you. Go ahead. Go start looking right now.
Okay.
Go see.
I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave right now.
Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead. I got
you. Know
so
there's no
much
Lou.
To talk about.
You know Lou's like
that's
an
fine.
Hour away.
Tyler, our new boy, our new buddy here from
our
Indiana.
New boy.
Our new boy.
He's an adult.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he looks like he's 10.
He's an adult.
Does he look like he's 10?
He's an adult. You know that the company is forcing Lou to walk over here.
It's
they don't want to pay for. They want to pay for the Uber. They don't want to pay for a cab. Walking. How long do you think it's going to take him?
Who works
and by the
harder
way,
than
he
Lou
will
Maloney?
Look, Lou will look more wiped out than these people who just
no,
went
no,
26.2
no.
miles.
So I've been sitting out here before you got here. I was just watching them run.
It's unbelievable.
And I don't understand why they do it. I'm sure they all have their reasons. They're doing running for whatever. It's a personal challenge. It's a family friend. It's a cause, whatever. What? Just want to see if they can do it. The pain on some of these people's faces is insane.
Well, for them,
well, what's fun about running 26.2 miles?
It's not fun for you or me. Driving 26.2 miles is a pain in the ass. But for these people, it is an unbelievable challenge and an accomplishment in life. And our buddy Teddy Bruschi is doing it. Matter of fact,
where's he? Let's get a Teddy update right now.
Teddy is at mile 20 right now.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a pace of 10 minutes, 25 seconds per mile.
Christian, see you next week, man.
Our buddy Rob Bradford is at 18.6 marker right now.
He's slowing down.
Yes, he is slowing down, but his shadow is still moving.
Let's drive, Chris. Let's go. Here's the thing. So I like.
Ooh, hold on. My daughter's catching up to Bradford right now. That's not a good thing.
No.
That's
not
spelled Bradford show guest.
Right, let's do this. We'll get to marathon stuff later. And Teddy.
Oh, we're not going to break down every mile.
No, we're not doing any.
No,
of that.
Damn.
Because we got to talk about what we just witnessed here. Today,
you want to lead off?
Is it too early? Are we going to go? Is it too early? Here's where, to me, it's not too early. Is there any life in that team?
Absolutely zero. Hold on. Their give a crap factor, okay, is that zero? Zero. Last year, 10. Almost the entire year, because you can't win that many games if your give a crap factor is at 5. They were at 10 last year. Right now, they're at 0.
They don't care.
Talk about beaten. If looks could kill, I mean, talk about their demeanor, the way they carry themselves, their body language. It's embarrassing.
So they face a starting pitcher today who had an earned run average of over 20. Okay, and he pitched well against them. And then on top of that, the guy who had the big hit of the game, 2-run homer, he also had a double over the weekend to score a couple runs, is a guy that couldn't get a hit in 54 at-bats. And, oh, yeah, you loaded up with 3 lefties this weekend. So he, Chris Davis, got limited at-bats.
So you're
and he still smoked your ass.
You're talking about the Orioles starter who had an ERA of 19.29.
20. I rounded off.
No, I know. I know you did. But you know what it ended at after he got pulled? 10.24.
Thank you to the Red Sox.
His ERA got so much better So I'm watching this and I'm looking at all these tweets. I'm saying, okay, here's what the Red Sox are. They're the get back on track team. You're Chris Davis. You can't get a hit. Yo, go ahead. You get back on track because you're facing the freaking Red Sox.
It's a 2-2 split against Baltimore, a team that is going to lose over 100 games this year. Maybe well over.
They're trying to lose 100 games.
Yeah, they're playing nobodies. You have no idea who's playing. They're talking about they're still 3 years away from getting the personnel to get back on track. So they want to suck for a while. On purpose, as you said. And yet you're getting smoked in a game here today. Smoked 8-1. Where's the pride factor? Where's anything? Now, granted, you could sit there and say, okay, you know, unfortunately, Alex had to put a makeshift lineup out there, including Vasquez, who was not a problem at second base defensively, but you had to put a makeshift lineup. The Orioles put a makeshift lineup up every freaking game.
Yeah, and I would say that
that's what their lineup is.
That lineup and the way they were, because defense was not a problem. Defense, they didn't have any issues. Okay, Vasquez wasn't an issue at second base. But none of those guys made these some sort of crazy, you know, egregious play in the outfield or in the infield. It wasn't their issue. So you're looking at it going, okay, what's the problem? You have no offense whatsoever. If a guy that started by the name of Dan Straley has an ERA of 19.29 and it drops to 10.24 after he's done, what are we doing?
The worst part is he had 86 pitches in the game.
They didn't even take him out.
5 innings. Right?
He got up to 86 pitches
in the game. This was, and you know, Velasquez was on the lucky count throughout the entire game. Got himself into trouble. Had 4 walks in 3 innings. To his credit, he was able to get out of the mess with no real damage other than 1 run scored. But the bullpen, nothing. Walden, nothing. Embry, nothing.
This is okay.
Thornburg, your bullpen is, and the one thing that you've had going well for you in the early part of the season is your bullpen. The one thing I think we were the most concerned about, we had a right to be concerned about it. I think it's starting to rear its ugly head right now.
So here's the thing. So Cora plays this, you know, hey, the relaxed song from Puerto Rico, and you know, and what was it after the Oakland series or before the Diamondbacks series? Whenever it was like, oh, hey, it's early. Let's say just chill. Everybody relax. What are we playing now? So this is the song he was playing, right? Early in the season.
I think they're too relaxed.
I would say relax is the wrong word. And you've been around a long time. You've seen a lot of teams.
A lot of championships,
right? This, to me, is textbook post-World Series hangover. This is what you're seeing right now. It was too much of a magical year. Everything worked out great. And you're realizing you can't just throw your glove out there. You just can't roll the baseball out there and just assume everything's going to work out.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, they think they're really good. And they're not willing to put that extra effort into it. And I'm sorry, you get that feeling when you're watching them. We did call the Chris Davis thing, if you remember, Thursday.
Yeah.
We said that Chris Davis would come to life because it's exactly what's happening in this season of the Red Sox. So we're going to get to your phone calls. We'll let you bash him. We'll let you and I'd love to sit here and tell you that it's far too early for this, but I would expect by now that maybe they're not going on some great winning streak where they're winning 14 out of 16 or whatever. But I would expect to see a little bit of life out of this team. I'm seeing no life out of this team. None. You know?
Well,
maybe Price yesterday against this weak lineup.
Sure.
And then today you're using your bullpen lineup, your beginners instead of your starters, and you get beat 8-1.
It almost feels like they're playing tight. They're just playing tight and they're wound up and you can feel the expectations of last year and how it bled into this year, you can feel it kind of starting to kind of leave a mark, and it's starting to kind of get to them a little bit. Because when you lose this badly to a team that you should smoke, and I don't want to hear the, well, you know, they're getting paid too. No, sorry. You're better than them talent-wise top to bottom. Yeah, you have some holes, but it should not be that big of a difference. Okay, do you give up one game to them? Like, I would give them one game, sure, out of a 4-game series. But you split. You feel good about that?
No, split is awful against Baltimore.
Against this team, and then the last game on Patriot Monday, home game. And don't give me this. I can't play. I heard Lou all morning. Well, you know it's an early game, and guys, the bats aren't waking up.
Stop it.
I mean, give me a break. How many more excuses?
Please.
How many more excuses are you going to give this team? What a bunch of sackless babies.
Well.
I'm not kidding. Like, it's I've never seen anything like it. These guys feel like it's like they've arrived already.
If they want to,
you know, like they don't get credit. Like this isn't a heavyweight championship belt, right? They get to keep that belt. No one's taking away last year's championship. They have to earn it all over again. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, get a new one.
Time.
No.
Close the book.
Take that page.
Move on to next year.
And I don't want to be insensitive, but go to Paris. Throw that book.
It's too early.
Is it too early? People are saying
early.
Jokes already.
I know.
No?
It's too early.
Nobody even said anything. Nobody know what I'm talking. Nobody even knows what I'm talking about.
No, we all know what you're talking about.
Notre Dame Cathedral.
What about it?
It's on
the football team?
Right now. No. It's collapsing. No.
You want to talk about your memories of Notre Dame Cathedral?
I've never been there.
Really?
I've never been there. No.
It is weird when you see a place like that literally burning. It's just going, whatever that steeple is, whatever that thing is, that what is it called?
Touchdown Jesus.
Touchdown Jesus? When you see Touchdown Jesus burning up, it's crazy.
That's bad. No, and the worst part is, you know, typical right now, you know what they're doing? Instead of worrying about the people that have to put the fire out and whatever, they're using these guys to go in there and see if they can salvage the artwork. Because apparently there's some very expensive artwork in
there. Would you? Hey, so your boss
put the damn
like,
fire out.
So
if you lose a couple of the nice little paintings, have somebody redo them.
Jeez. So your boss is standing right next to you. You're just a maintenance guy. You're just like,
we need you to go in there. Painting's worth a million and a half.
Go grab it right. No, excuse me. The whole place is. Just go get a couple.
Yeah. It's lukewarm. Not a real problem.
Yeah, so
this was. Have the Red Sox won a series yet this year? They haven't, have they? So they lost every series, and then
they tied
in this
one.
Homestand,
push.
They pushed both of them.
Yeah.
They have not won a single series yet.
What are you telling these guys? Because I think it
I no
may
idea.
Be time for a team meeting. Or is it still just too early? Because, again, I would still say the last thing you want to do is panic. You don't want to panic, but somebody needs to take a pitchfork or a lightning rod or whatever it is and start jabbing people and telling them to wake up.
This is the perfect time to panic. Can I tell you one problem they're going to have? Is that people are going to tune this stuff out. People are going to get to the point. They're going to get to the point where they're sitting there going, hey, wake me up when the Red Sox decide they're actually going to compete. Because, come on. You know, people love what they did last year. As long as the season was, you know, you win 119, you win the whole thing. You can't come out like this and be, you know, play like this.
This is textbook hangover. This is what it is. Go back.
This is how Baltimore plays most days. This is how these other bad teams play.
Yeah,
you're playing like them now. You've got six coming up with Tampa Bay. You better make some hay there. You've got two against the Yankees coming up, and they're having their own issues right now. But you know what? I'll give the Yankees an out. They have injuries.
Yeah,
they
hurt.
Have 11 guys on the injured reserve list. Don't you dare call it the disabled list.
Yeah.
11 guys right now on the injured reserve list. They have a legitimate excuse. They can sit there and say, what do you expect? We're hurt. What is the Red Sox excuse right now? They had a little flu go through the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And Jackie
Sale.
Bradley Jr.'s got the sniffles.
Yeah. Sale had a case of something. And that's what Lou's been saying for a while. Maybe, you know, playing against a good team with a good record is what they need. Listen, I don't know.
I'd like to see some life somewhere. I see no life. Body language, there's no life.
It's so easy to get caught up in the fact that they're just – you just thought that they would – everybody came back. They made important signings that, you know, Eovaldi. They made sure they kept their core group together. And here we are sitting there going, we don't – this talk about personality. I have no idea who this team is. None. And you're right. Could care less, actually. Because losing tough games is one thing. Being pathetically bad and looking lethargic and like you don't care, that's a whole nother attitude. That makes me be pissed that I have to devote time to even watch this crap.
Okay, let's get to the phone calls, and we'll let some people vent out there because this is really – and again, we give it to you early in the season. What are they, 17 games in now? But it's still to the point where you're seeing no sign of life with this team. This is embarrassing what you watched here today. It's been embarrassing what you've seen over the entire weekend. You can't go 2-2 against Baltimore when you're playing at home after 1-1 against Toronto. 617-779-7937. We go to Rich in North Providence. Hey, Rich. Hello, Rich in North Providence.
This is Tommy from Federal Hill.
Oh, what's up, Federal Hill?
I just wanted to say, Mookie Betts is going to rue the day that he didn't take that $200 million offer before the season started, because he's hitting 200, he's fielding like crap, he's running the bases, he's not aware, he looks like he's in a fog, and the Red Sox are on pace to win, to lose over 100 games the way they're going. They made Baltimore look like the 1975 Cincinnati Reds in this series. It's a joke. They look so pathetic, it's ridiculous. Yeah. By May 1st, they'll be eliminated the way they're going.
Yeah. Well, we know that's not going to happen, but the what you're seeing at the moment, you're right. And where is Mookie Betts? What's going on? He's bet 222 when he's right. Out in the field? This guy is not a great fielder, and he's like a step slow. What is going on?
It is.
So is this contract stuff getting to him? Or
I would say no.
Did they have to work too hard last year, and they look at the season and say, you know, we don't want to do that much. We'll flip the switch. We're that good. All these bad teams.
So I would say Bryce is the only guy that's actually consistently so far, at least, even though with a short. So every time you everybody's listening. Every time you hear applause, we got to clap. People are finishing the marathon. We got to clap for them.
Allison,
good job. I wish people would cheer for us after every segment. Every time we go to see us.
Hey, thank you very much.
Every time we make a good
point.
We're
not done with the segment yet. It still could suck. Don't worry. Hasn't been that good to begin with.
No. Every time we have a good point, there should be some sort of applause associated with it.
All right, let's go to the phone call.
Please clap.
Is in Maine. Next up here on OMF without Lou. Lou will be here shortly. Hi, Phil.
Lou's walking.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
Good, Lou.
Hey, so, you know, first off, this team's got good players, but it's a bad team. A bad team with good players right now. Good thing it's early. I don't see any kind of guys.
Hold on, Phil. What do you mean, not a good
We've
team?
Got this good is players.
Same, this is the same team from last year.
And what's their record right now?
I agree. They suck right now. They suck.
Right. That's what I'm saying is right now they have good players, but they're a bad team. They just split with Baltimore. You can't deny the obvious right now. But, I mean, you know, I know it's early. We know they'll come along. But the concern on my, you know, that I see is where's the leadership right now in the clubhouse? And, I mean, quite honestly, guys, since spring training, I think Cora kind of let these guys just kind of do their own thing. I don't think he was real serious about it. And I think it's really come back to bite him in the ass.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Phil. How is it that Alex Cora's approach last year, which you've got to agree, worked to a perfection, okay? They got 108 wins in the regular season, and they could have had more. They were kind of resting guys down the stretch. And then they win the whole thing, and they hardly lose in the postseason. I mean, I think maybe a lot of stuff worked well for him, and he got a little bit lucky last year. But there's something to him being good at what he does. He can't suddenly turn the corner for the next year and suddenly suck as a manager, can he?
No, I'm not saying he sucks as a manager. But what I think is going on is, yes, everybody worked hard for him. He's a new manager. They all busted their ass. They achieved great things, and I'm still very proud of that. But now it's kind of almost like these guys are like, well, we won a World Series, so you guys got to sit back and relax and let us do what we're going to do. And Cora, I think, is kind of giving them that leeway, giving them that respect because of what they've done, you know. But I think he's going to lean on them a little bit more now. I think
I think it's a legitimate point. I really do. That maybe this is on Cora right now, that he's got to change the approach, that the approach is not working. These guys probably sit around and say, we'll be fine. I think Cora said it to us the other day, right?
Just play some cool Allen music. We'll be fine. Feel the breeze. Hey, somebody get a drink. We're good.
Because we all agree they have good players. I still question the bullpen. I still question whether the bullpen is going to hold up this year. And I still think when we get to the training deadline, that's where you're going to have to go out and get some help. But other than that, starting rotation is terrific. This lineup can hit. So, but the problem is their approach. It's like they don't give a rat's ass. It's like, we're going to be fine. We don't care. I don't think you can have that approach. Suppose Tampa Bay is for real. Suppose they are.
Well, I mean, who says, I mean, the fact is, like, that's a legit. So you, instead of thinking that you're just going against the Yankees, you're actually going to have another player with Tampa involved?
Yeah, I think that's a fact.
I mean, how do you know? Right. I mean, here's the thing. They can completely fall off the map. They can completely just incinerate and just be done, and no one will even care or know about it, right? Right now, It just, it, to me, I would be, not that Mutt is, oh, look at this guy. Hold on.
Lou just walked in. He's soaking wet.
Oh, that's right. He just got dumped on.
Hold on. Hold on. He's crawling to the broadcast position.
There like these two people carried him.
The finish line. He's crawling right now.
That's what happens when you're when you got to work double duty.
You okay? You okay there? You all right? Yeah.
The rain held off, which was nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
The game was exciting, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, I'm edge of my seat the whole
freaking
time.
So what the hell are we watching here? What is going on?
You want to vent right now? You want to drink?
You know what? You can sit. You want something to drink?
Well, I'm okay.
Give him a crown. Give him a crown.
Hey, we got a double over here.
Double crown. He had to,
we might
had
get
to
a little something,
innings.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah.
We always watch. Dead-ass team.
Yeah, but you can't use as an excuse this makeshift lineup or whatever. The other team's worse.
No, your lineup's still good enough.
The other has a makeshift lineup every day.
Your lineup is still good enough. What were you without Benintendi? Okay, you without Jackie? Really? Right. Offensively? I mean, no. This team, they're lost. You know, and you could say Moreland's swinging it well, and JD's doing his thing, Xander, but now Moreland the last few games. 1-9, Mookie Betts. It's time to start looking like the guy we want to compare to Mike Trout.
Right.
You know, and he right now is lost. He's missing pitches. He's losing his barrel. You know, he's popping balls up left and right. Just 1-9, you're not getting anything from these guys. Bay or whatever it is. But 2-2, they're 3-3 against Toronto and Baltimore. Last year they were like 31-7 against these two teams. You can't let those two teams walk out of Fenway Park 3-3.
No.
You can't do it.
No.
And now we sort of sit there and put them in the back burner and go Celts, go Bruins.
Yes.
Right? See what happens.
Well, we said that. That's going to be the biggest problem.
Sure
now.
It is.
In the next couple of weeks, if they don't wake up and start to show that they're willing to be competitive right now, I'm telling you, they're going to drift into the distance here.
That
people
sucked.
Are going to ignore
what
them.
What do you mean going to drift into the distance?
No, they were quiet today.
I heard you guys talking about how quiet it was at Fenway Park. There's no energy, no nothing. Even like the 7th and 8th inning, I'm sitting there going, why are people still there? Because at that point in time, you knew Baltimore was just piling on. Hit after hit after hit after hit. You're like, okay, just stop it already. Just get me the hell, cut it. So I don't know, like, you know, you can sit there and I'm just curious, you know, what is Alex telling them now? Okay, because if you weren't, same thing, right? Nothing's changed. I'm
going to
be consistent.
It out.
We'll figure it out. Nobody jump ship yet. No, nobody go crazy.
Nobody,
don't start pointing fingers.
They got a three-man bench. They can't use any of them. Two guys are sick. One guy's banged up. He took a foul ball off his toe. So you say, okay, I need an extra bench guy. Well, you got 8 relievers. Well, you're going to go with 7 relievers, given what you're getting out of the rotation right now?
Right.
I mean, you're starting Velasquez. You're hoping to get 4 or 5 out of him. He goes 3, can't find the strike zone. So how the hell are you supposed to get an extra bench guy or something? I mean, when Holt comes back or whenever he does, you can't have a 3-man bench. You got an 8-man bullpen, number one, because you don't trust any of them. You're trying to find out who can pitch. So you got some confidence innings with Thornburg and Embry. That didn't work out so well. Do you want to put them back out when it means anything? I don't think so. Brewer? Yeah, he's okay.
I'm not sure he's okay.
Well, that's what I mean.
So last two outings have been very shaky.
How are you going to do? The rotation doesn't give you deep into games. You got an 8-man bullpen. You only got 3 guys on the bench. None of them can play. They're all hurt. No, they got to right the ship. Rotation and lineup. Figure this thing out quickly.
All right, let's take some phone calls. We'll let you catch your breath. Here's Bob in Brimfield. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. Hey,
what's up, Bob?
I think it's a little premature to be thinking the Red Sox are done for the season.
Hold on, Bob. None of us said they were done for the season. What we're saying is, right now they suck. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Yes.
They're not playing well.
Okay.
Now, they suck.
Nobody said they're done for the season.
Well, that seems to be the callers that seem like, you know, the sky is falling. And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the Yankees have a very similar start last year? Well, the Red Sox were very hot the first month and a half, and then we're a 500 team the rest of the year. It's a long ways to go.
But, you know, not really.
That didn't happen.
We're talking about this in May.
And the Yankees actually were leading the Red Sox at one point, weren't they?
Yeah, they did.
They actually caught up.
The Red Sox started off 17-2 and didn't have as much distance as you might think between them and the Yankees. And then the Yankees went 17-2.
Yes.
So it wasn't like they went 17-2 and the Yankees were sitting there going, you know, 5-11. Against teams that they should be crushing, and yet Red Sox didn't have ahead like a 12-game lead. No, that just didn't happen,
hey,
and
Bob,
they got hot.
Hey, Bob, let me ask you this question. How many playoff teams do you think they've faced so far?
Bob? Probably none. I don't think that. Maybe Seattle might sneak in somehow.
Yes, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. They're off to a good start. Let's see how long that lasts. So that's the point we're making here. The thing is that you have a god-awful record, and you're losing to teams who are supposed to lose. That's what they do. They're not playoff teams. You haven't faced good pitching. How about the guy they faced today? Come on.
Hashtag Mutt was right.
No, it was
all
hot seats.
Hot seat.
No, the season's not over, but is it safe to say they didn't exactly come out of the gate playing the way you thought, playing against these two teams? I mean, these two teams got nothing.
Hashtag
I mean,
hot
absolutely
seat.
Nothing. Like Toronto Blue Jays, you can talk about their minor leaguers that they have in AAA, not the ones in the big leagues, but they have in AAA, not the ones you saw. Baltimore, they don't have any prospects. They don't have anything. And you went 3-3 against them.
Oh, they're putting a bunch of stiffs out there so they can finally get prospects.
Surely
so they can
had a 19 ERA coming into this game.
Almost 20. Closer to 20. Unbelievable. Nobody is saying that the season is over. This team has plenty of talent. What we're saying is, when are they going to wake up?
See, to me,
it's even worse, I think, when you know how much talent they have.
Yes.
And you look at it and say, looking at the body language, it's like they don't care.
You know, it's annoying.
Annoying.
It's annoying because I'm sitting there, because just to your point, I'm like, listen, we know what you guys are all capable of. We know what you've done. So to me, either you just have the longest postseason championship hangover that I've ever seen, or you guys weren't any good to begin with, and last year was a fluke. So which one is it? Is it a fluke, or you just got a hangover problem?
Well, I don't think it was a fluke. Maybe 108 might have been. But listen, when you beat two teams in your division, and you go, what, 31-7 against Baltimore and Toronto, that's why you won 108. You played two teams that have no right being on the same field with you talent-wise, and you took care of business. All those people that last year, and you sweep Baltimore, oh, great, it's Baltimore, who cares? Well, it's still, this goes to show you, if you roll the balls out there, you're good enough to maybe go 3-3 against two of the worst teams in baseball. But that's it, you know, and that's what it seemed like to me. It's just, again, it's just like, we'll figure it out, which, you know, the thing is, big picture, we sit there and say, yeah, they probably will at some point, but good Lord, we have to go through this right now?
Yeah, I think five series in right now, they have yet to win a series. The good news for them in the division is that the Yankees are having their own problem, but we were just saying it before you got here. Yankees have an excuse.
No question.
You know, they could sit there and say, we're going to get better when we get 11 guys back from the IR.
Right, right.
11. When we get them back, we're going to be okay. What is the Red Sox excuse? Because I'll bet you the Red Sox will have some injuries along the way.
Sure.
And right now they're fairly healthy. Let's get back to the phone calls. Here's Brian in a car next up here on OMF. Brian.
Hey, guys. Hey, look, you know, about a week ago, I was 100% on board with Lou about the Patriots bringing out all the trophies and coming out on opening day, and I thought that was garbage. It was the Sox day, but I got to tell you, you know, they walk out, they're carrying out six Lombardi trophies, and they're showing something. They reset every year, and the Sox just didn't reset this year. And the problem for Cora is that going forward, he laid forth this lackadaisical or just chill with it attitude, and it's hard to reset after that and go back to hardcore after you've already established that mentality.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, for Cora, you have so much trust in him because everything he reached Bill Belichick type status as far as you just got to trust him. He knows what he's doing because even throughout the year, bullpen, whatever it was, he made the right decision and everybody was proven wrong. So you sit there and you say, listen, the guy knows what he's doing. Get the hell out of the way. Well, I don't agree with this. I don't agree with that. What about Kimbrel? This bullpen is crazy. Don't worry about it. Cora's got to figure it out. So I don't necessarily want to go back to the whole we didn't turn the page because the players have to be accountable also. Like, you're not dealing with rookies and first-year players. All these guys have been around forever. There's no young blood guys. Devers is the only guy that at least could get a pass. And even then, I'd say, no.
Listen, I think we saw enough of him last year to think he's going to be a pretty good manager and was a really good manager last year. Maybe he's got a little bit more to learn, but I think on the whole, he's good. He's going to be terrific on this job. But is it not fair to sit there and say, maybe because he's never done this before. He was a bench coach 2 years ago with Houston, a team that won over 100. Then they won the World Series. And then last year, he went through the whole year and they won 108 and won the World Series. Maybe he's looking at it and he's never done this before. He doesn't know what you do or how you approach it with his guy. He doesn't know how his players are going to react.
I tell you what, he's going to wait and see how this season ends. But you won't hear him say it. Because last year we heard him on many occasions admit mistakes. But I do think that the whole approach in spring training was a mistake. You know, and when I asked him, like, you know, these guys don't seem motivated. You know, a team like New York lost in the playoffs. Houston, you come in the next year, you're motivated. And his quick answer was, we are motivated. We talked about repeating. Well, that's not, I mean, that's not motivation. I understand doing something great, but that's saying that we are so great that we can actually win this thing again. To me, that is sending an overconfident message.
Yeah,
I know Bill is completely different. But when you win in 03, do you come back and the talk is like, listen, we're going to repeat? Or is the talk like, you guys haven't accomplished anything.
Yeah,
we're 0-0.
But
that talk was repeat.
See,
yeah, I can confirm
see,
that.
I like the idea. And I don't think Bill's approach is the only approach. It works for him and his system and everything else. I appreciated the approach of, listen, we know we're good. We're not bragging about it. We just, listen, we got a lot of talent. We should be good. I like the fact that they have their goals and they're okay telling people about their goals.
When does that seep into overconfidence? When does that seep into, you know what, we're so damn good.
We walked
through the postseason. We're going to do this again.
Yeah, but verbally, have you seen anyone on the team being that arrogant a-hole? Not one player.
No.
They all got that. They still all seem to have the same blue-collar work ethic, but somehow it's just not transferring to the field. It's not transferring when they hit or when they field or the choices that they make. It doesn't look the same. It doesn't feel the same. And if it doesn't, then I don't know. You always end up pointing the finger at the manager or the coach because ultimately they're responsible.
But we sit here every series and we keep on waiting for them to wake up. Okay, because good teams are capable of doing it. Why? Because they're loaded with talent. This team is loaded with talent, so they're capable of doing it. How many series are we going to go through now where we say the exact same thing? Lethargic. Doesn't seem to be focused there. It is the same thing series after series. Yeah. So the question is the season in trouble? No, because it's still early and nobody's going to run away. Tampa Bay, I still think, is going to have some issues down the road. But eventually they got to wake up, right? They were getting booed out there today, weren't they? They were getting booed out there.
That's becoming a regular occurrence.
To get booed. It's Marathon Monday, and yes, we're broadcasting live over here at the Lennox Hotel on Boylston. We're all with Teddy's team and the New Balance people, and Teddy is on pace now. He's 23.3 miles into the race. He's expected to finish at 3:41, if he continues this pace,
nice.
At 3:41. Our buddy Bradfoe is scheduled to finish at 4:09. His shadow probably will be about 10 minutes ahead of him.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, his shadow will be a little ahead of him. And I've got to check out my daughter. Oh, she's doing great. 18.6 miles. Keep going, honey. Keep going. You're doing a great job. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get back to the phone call. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
We just got to keep working, keep preaching. You know, we know what we have to do, you know, as a group, you know, from the coaching staff to the players. You know, we keep talking the game, preaching, trying to get better, and it will get better. There's no time to tell. You know, obviously, the sooner the better, you know. Trust me, I'm not saying that let's wait a month and fix this, but you know, we're working on it on a daily basis, you know. It's just, you know, right now the results, you know, is they're not out there in the field.
Well, you know, when you say there's no timetable, over the next couple of weeks you're going to be playing some better teams. Certainly you got six against Tampa Bay, three down there, three back up here. And if you don't pick up some ground at that point, and you fall further behind that team. And by the way, they're playing Baltimore now in between. While you're playing the Yankees, they're playing Baltimore, right? So then do you not have to worry at that point? 2 weeks down the road?
I mean, I remember when the Sox before, so they win the World Series, and then they missed the playoffs. What was it 2 years in a row?
Last place, 2 years
in a row. Last place. Remember what that felt like? Remember when you sat there and said, okay, when are they outed? When are they out of the playoff hunt? At what point in time is it mathematically impossible for them to get out of it?
And I remember there was like, it came sometime in June. I think everyone just kind of gave up officially.
It was different.
Threw the towel.
I knew. But like that 13 team, a lot of people looked at it and said, you know, there was some career years, a lot of bounce back years. You know, you're talking about big years and guys contributing like Nava and Johnny Gomes and. You know, and
they didn't have the personnel.
No, that's what I mean. This team is much more talented than that. Like as far as returning,
day and night.
Like I can't imagine this team being out of it. Now, you get off to a bad start, and then here we go. Right here we go with a couple of injuries. The next thing you know, now you're sitting there saying, "Okay, now can we withstand a bad May or a bad June?" Because 2/5 or 3/5 of our rotation are missing. Big bat in the middle of our lineup are missing. That's what this start. That's when it really kills you. You know, because we're beyond the whole 1-3 start when people are out there saying, oh, they're off to a bad start. It's going to cost them. You know, now this stuff's starting to get real.
You want to
focus on that record.
Well, usually get around it. If you have a bad stretch like this, you get around it because you go on a stretch where you win 12 out of 13, 13 out of 15, something like that. I'm not sure, looking at this bullpen, that I feel this team is going to be capable of doing something
no,
like
they
that.
No, they got a lot of problems, and they're just – it's all starting
in the bullpen. I don't know about
bullpen.
A lot of problems.
Well, I would say – okay,
they
sorry.
Problems. They shouldn't have the problems.
Why do they not have a lot of problems?
They got a lot of problems.
I mean, so they're not hitting.
Because they're better hitting team than this
They're losing
team.
To crap. I mean, they got to – no, let's not sugarcoat it. They got a lot of problems. Fixable problems, I would say, but they got a lot of them. I would say that the bullpen is going to start, you know, you got to figure that situation
He's
out.
He's starting to see it now, I think.
Yeah, and it's going to be, they're a liability. And they've been saving your ass in the beginning, but it didn't matter because you couldn't hit and you were losing games.
Yeah, they got a couple guys.
They didn't even get the benefit of it.
No, they got a ton of problems because they had a couple guys throwing okay in the bullpen, throwing well.
Yeah.
You know, Brazier, Barnes in the back end throwing well, Workman. But, you know, you talk about a lot of problems. Yeah, defensively, they're not a good baseball team.
No.
You know, I know where they are errors-wise, you know, but forget about the errors. This is talking about plays that should be made that aren't errors.
Yeah, so they're all fixable, right?
We were talking about this before you got here. Even Mookie Betts looks out of
sync
out
there. Mookie looks lost right now.
In the field.
I mean, that game we did the other day, E-Rod, when he went 7 scoreless, well, he should have went 7 scoreless because that is an error in right field.
Yeah.
He catches that ball. Most of the time. I mean, all the time. And he didn't come up with it. Even yesterday, it was a ball. I know he's at center field. He's not comfortable with it. But the ball dropped between he and the wall. He goes back and gets that ball, too. So there's a ton of plays that aren't being made that are called hits, but need to be made at that level, especially from some of the guys not making them.
All right, let's go to Wally in Fall River. Hi, Wally.
Oh, no. Good afternoon, Wally's guys.
Wally's not going to panic.
They're digging themselves a hole right now. They came home from that brutal road trip, and you're facing two crappy teams. You're facing a guy today with a 19.7 in run average, and they couldn't fatten up on Baltimore and Toronto. But I don't know what the answer is. I'm dumbfounded. I mean, you look at the Dodgers. They played just as long as a season as the Red Sox last year, and, you know, they're not struggling. The Yankees have everybody but the kitchen sink on a disabled list. But I don't know what, you know, I'm speechless right now. They just seem very lethargic, very, you know, out of thought, to the Twilight Zone, whatever adjective you want to use.
How about this one, Lou? Lou, did you hear this? Thanks, Wally. That's the way I like it from Wally. Short
and
sweet.
I like it. Wally's good.
So the Orioles starter, how do you say his last name?
Straley.
Straley. So Dan Straley's ERA started at 19.29.
Yep.
By the end of the game, by the time he got pulled, it had dropped to 10.24.
Sure. I mean, he's only through, like, what, 4 1/3 or 5 innings total.
Still,
coming in.
But are you ready for this?
Still, it's just another stat that says, what the hell?
He threw 86 pitches in that game.
Yeah.
He threw 86 pitches.
Unbelievable.
They couldn't touch him. You know, you want to give guys credit. He was kind of pitching on the edges early on, change up, slider. But you expect more from this lineup. And I don't care who's out of it. Benintendi basically is the guy that's out of that lineup. You know, right now, you know, Jackie wanted to be in it, but he's not exactly swinging it either. So, no, this offense should have put up some crooked numbers against that guy. I don't care who's out.
Here's Tony in Bridgewater. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you guys doing? I got to tell you something. I mean, it's so obvious. Of course the Red Sox are going to get better. But here's the problem. They're playing like it's March 15th. And I've seen this right out of the gate here with the Red Sox. I want one of those deadbeat writers. They're not beat writers. They're deadbeat writers. Ask Cora, what the hell do resting guys are touched for? You think they're going to be okay in October? It's the stupid. I'm going on vacation in June, right? I want to be awake. Should I take a nap tomorrow?
What?
Yes, I would.
Yes.
Gear up.
I would.
And you know what? Before you go out drinking,
it depends what you're doing.
Before you go out drinking, make sure you hydrate. Drink a lot of water.
Right.
So none of the pitchers failed last year except Steele, who's done it 5 years in a row. So, you know, do what they used to do with Pedro. They used to sit up 2 weeks end of July and give up. I don't understand this, how these guys go. What are they doing in Fort Myers, though, for 6 weeks?
Well, I tell you, the other part of that is
please drop in.
Where I wonder, you know, the plan. You remember last year when Cora was talking about resting guys all the time? Yeah. And he did, and people were pulling their hair out, but they were winning every single night, so it's no big deal. So you start off with 11 games in a row. I think Mookie and JD might have had one of those, remember, out in Arizona. And now you've got some injuries. So now is he playing these guys more than he ever would have dreamed? That whole theory of I'm going to rest guys in April and May so they're ready in September and October. Well, great. You did that with your pitching staff, and they're helping you because they're only lasting 3 or 4 innings, so they're not logging a lot of innings either because they're getting smacked. But the position players, you know, like Mookie's playing every day. JD's playing every single day. These are things we didn't see last year. They have to because they got a 3-man bench, and now some guys are nicked up or sick. But and because of the rotation so bad, you need an 8-man bullpen. So right now, it seems like nothing's working. There isn't a single plan that you put out there that is working. Because I'm sorry, I can't fast forward to October and say it's a given. Only a third of the teams in Major League Baseball, the American League, will make the postseason. This isn't the Celtics, you know, sitting there saying, "Yeah, whatever, 5 seed, 4 seed, no big deal. Just get there. We'll flip the switch." There's no guarantee they'll get there.
I've already seen it, by the way. Christian and I were laughing about it earlier. The Green Teamers are already out there. Questioning, was this the switch? They finally flipped it. Is Kyrie finally flipped after that game?
Oh my God.
After that game.
Oh, was that pretty?
That game to me, I must admit, I did not watch the game live because I could not stop, and I was not listening to you. I apologize.
I wasn't on. That's okay.
Oh, that's good. You weren't on then. You probably doing the same thing I was.
You're watching the Tiger.
That's exactly what I was watching. It was riveting TV. You could not stop watching it. It is the greatest comeback story in the history of sports. Nothing better.
You obviously didn't enjoy it as much as we did, Christian.
I guess it was a good story. I guess
it was a cute little story.
I think of some other comebacks that I thought were just
like what?
Inspiring.
No, that's the ultimate.
Caught part of the week.
This guy was done. Eight back surgeries. What about the DUI had with the drinking? It was all the narcotics he was taking.
It just kept getting worse for him.
Remember the situation where he ran the car into the hydrant out in front of the house? The 16 different girlfriends that he had going at one
constantly
time?
Constantly embarrassing himself. Couldn't get out of his own way. Tons of surgery. Yeah. Okay. No, listen.
He was a Jerry Springer TV contestant.
You tell me this. Okay. So all I saw were a bunch of tweets. Okay, from either analysts on TV, you know, sportcaster, whatever, and they all of them ran something like this. I was up with my kids, and I watched the game. It was the greatest sports day of my life.
Yeah, a little dramatic.
I was like sitting there going, "Are you freaking kidding me? This is what the happiest day of your life? Watching a freaking golf game?
I didn't say it was the happiest
golf match
day of my life.
With your freaking kids?
I didn't say it.
You know, I woke up my sons, Jack, Tyler, and Joe, and we high fived the entire time. And then guys like Trey Wingo would sit there and retweet it. Yes, I called my son right after the match, and I said,
More
"Remember
Twitter
when
plus.
You were two? And then we watched this together, and the whole." I'm not getting buying into that whole, this is the greatest moment. I got to call my dad and hug him because Tiger hugged his dad and then he hugged his son.
So you didn't cry?
No, I did not cry.
So that's what I saw a lot of that on Twitter.
Here's what I saw.
A man who were out there is going, I actually shed a tear. I did not cry.
This is the a-hole in me.
I got emotional.
I sat there and I said,
did you cry?
I got emotional and everything.
I looked at his girlfriend.
So what's emotional? A little
No, it kind of hits you a little bit. You're like, wow, that was special. But there's not like.
Yeah, Joe Klatt. Former Colorado guy. Today I gathered my three boys, Henry 7, Sam 5, and Theo 2, to watch Tiger Woods win the Masters. We high-fived, cheered, and hugged all morning. And then their dad cried. For as long as I live, I will remember and cherish this moment.
That's a little bit
Shut
much.
The hell up.
That's
you got to be kidding. I was looking, I was like, whoa, is that his girlfriend that he's hugging? And
that's
can
girlfriend.
He do better?
That's
good. Yes.
You are thinking the same thing.
I'm with you.
You were thinking the same thing.
I didn't say it.
Is that the nanny? Is that a college
No, I thought the same thing. I still don't know who that second guy is that he hugged, the first guy. I don't know. One was an agent. Another guy he hugged. Like everybody went nuts. I don't know who that was. I liked it because I always root for Tiger. And I think he's like that rare breed that like – Usually when you win too much, you start rooting for the guy to lose because you're tired of him. I never did that with Tiger in his heyday.
I did that.
Never, ever. I want him to win every single tournament.
I think a lot of people did that, and now it's just the opposite. I think most people that were watching that yesterday wanted him to win.
I think everybody wanted that guy to win every single one.
The Italian guy.
Paisan. Yeah, I know he choked away, which I never thought he would choke it away.
Right, and he was happy with it. At the end, he was talking, and he said he was cool with it.
As Italian as Italian could be.
But that was...
I cried. When he won,
and by the way, the kiss, the kiss of death for the tournament, for the Masters, is when Francesca came out the other day and said the chances of Tiger winning are nil. I mean, you talk about a track record.
That's what you're going to bet it.
There's nobody that has a better track record. I swear to God, if you would have bet for the opposite of everything Francesca says, you'd be worth a fortune.
Did you hear about there's a guy that bet, I think,
85 grand. $1.1 million.
Wow.
The fact that he has 85 grand to bet and almost basically throw it away.
Which is insane. In a golf tournament, anybody could win it.
That's a bigger prize than the person who finished second in the Masters.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Isn't that unbelievable?
But
it was great TV.
It was.
Yeah. The ratings, by the way, look a little shaky because they were down because they started it so early at 9 o'clock in the morning. But they're now claiming it's the highest ratings for a golf match in the morning.
I got to admit, I got a little confused.
The only one?
No, there have been others, apparently.
I got a little confused because I was sitting there and I turned it on and I was watching Twitter. I didn't see earlier today on the screen. I was just watching it. And next thing I was like, whoa, he won? He won. Wait, what happened? The greatest 4 minutes? He hugged his... Because obviously they pushed it forward because
so you weren't
rain.
Following it at all then.
No, I mean,
To know that they changed the time of the Masters.
No. I did not.
That tells me your involvement. No, you weren't emotionally involved in this one bit.
No,
it's like a Red Sox player.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knew that thing was teeing off. A coverage started at 9, 7:30 tee off.
I have kids. I have a life. I'm not going to dedicate.
I don't have a life now?
I'm going to say, like, people who are obsessed with golf can never be really good parents.
I want to have here we go.
So your life is more important than Lou's life.
No, my kids' lives are more important.
Okay, we have kids, don't we care about
it?
You're
gonna be like Tom Brady. Ooh, couch day, couch day. The only day of the year I lay on the couch.
That was good.
What is it with those people in the Masters? Like, relax.
It's the Masters.
It was pretty good.
No, I get it.
It's Augusta.
Plus, you know, the other thing is, as good as
I cried. Did you call? Did you call Sam? Call your son?
No, I didn't call anybody.
I brought Mason in for the final.
Did you hug him?
Yeah, we held.
Son, you may never.
Big hug. Brought my wife down.
Son, you may never see anything like this ever again.
Yeah, I wanted to experience the moment.
The one thing I will say is, it brings the game of golf back. As good as the players are and the two of these young players are right now, what a difference. What a difference with this guy.
I have a theory on that, too, because to me, it's a little overrated.
All right, good. We'll get to that, and we'll get to the Celtics, and some people think they have flipped that switch. We'll get to all of that coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Many doubted we'd ever see it, but here it is. The return to glory. I never thought we'd see anything that could rival the hug with his father in 1997. But we just did. If that doesn't bring a tear to your eye, if you're a parent, you're not human.
Oh, stop crying, Christian. Jeez. Stop bawling.
Jim Nance says, I'm not human.
I do like Jim Nance.
Jim's got to relax. Everybody's trying to get everybody to cry these days.
Do like that.
I'm not going to cry, Ray. Not going to make me cry.
He tried, and when they went to Butler Cabin, and they were doing the little ceremony, which, by the way, it's the most staid
the
thing.
The what cabin?
It's the Butler cabin.
Oh, yeah, the Butler cabin. And it's where the Butlers hang out.
Malcolm Butler's cabin. Yeah. So they it's so staid and so slow, and oh, my God. It's like something from 30, 40 years ago. But that's the Masters.
See, so the contrast, so I did not know that they actually covered golf on the radio. Okay, but actually, it would be the last thing I would look for.
Westwood One was doing it.
Yeah, and so Mike Tirico was doing it.
Right.
So when you brought up Jim Nance, I was like, wow,
This Mike Tirico sounds like he's doing a football game at the end. I know, Ryan, you have it, compared to Jim Nantz. So let's. I just want to compare and contrast the two, and tell me which one you like better.
Here it is. Woods has 2 feet to win the Masters. Everyone quiets down. Tiger back behind the ball. Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters champion. One of the great comeback stories in American sports history. Masters number 5, Major number 15, and Augusta National roars like never before.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, because he's got a studio back in Bristol, Connecticut.
No, he's, there no, he's on site. He's on,
I know he's on site.
He's on site. All right, so let me listen to...
But Jim needs to whisper.
So, yeah, why was he whispering if he's in Bristol? That's stupid. No, he's on site.
It's got to feel the effect.
Like Tirico. He's not going to be on some studio in Bristol. Whispers. All right, so now I want to compare it, Ryan. I want to compare it to Jim Nantz. Same scene.
Many doubted we'd ever see it, but here it is. The return to glory. I never thought we'd see anything that could rival the hug with his father in 1997. But we just did. If that doesn't bring a tear to your eye, if you're a parent, you're not human.
Yeah, you're not human.
That was Fourier
or not.
But you can't
even compare it. Sounds like a movie trailer, doesn't it?
But hugging the father, you know what I mean? I mean, that's so much more than hugging your kid, I think. I'm just saying, for like, you know, the winning thing. Did you feel the same way when he hugged his dad? I thought that was a nicer moment. His kid comes running out there, whatever.
So you're gonna rate him. So we're gonna rate him now.
No,
we're gonna rate him.
No, I would say that. Yeah.
What about the girlfriend? What about the girlfriend?
The girlfriend thought, you know what?
The son.
She just sort of hit it right. She just was dating him during the spring.
Right.
You know, maybe be a new one next year. I don't know, but it's nice for her to be with him while he wins a major, so she gets some airtime.
Now, does he go out and celebrate? Drink it up and celebrate.
Does he what?
What are you mixing in your cocktails? So I mean, are we gonna sit there? I love how everybody's like ranking the comeback and. You know, and don't compare it to a comeback from an actual game. So the Patriots 28-3. Yeah, so it's not a game in game comeback.
Oh, no.
This isn't the greatest comeback, individual comeback in an event.
Christian,
he wasn't down 10 strokes.
His career was dead.
Yeah,
and buried.
So think of it that way. I'm good with that as far as career over. No one thought you could do anything. You would example after example of you just being a mockery and embarrassing yourself.
He's right, though. When he says, you know, nobody thought I would ever come back, and he doubted it because he's in the past basically said that he might be done.
His back fused.
Right, exactly.
You should not be playing golf.
Eight surgeries, then he had all of his other issues that we know about.
Honestly,
he probably messed him up.
Mentally, he could get over that hump, right?
Yeah.
Like physically, okay, he can swing a club again, but it's another level to compete and win.
And you know what we're talking about today? Can he catch Jack Nicklaus and the 18? And he can.
I saw that.
He can now, maybe.
Here's the other thing I saw that was just weird. Someone was talking. Who was it? Man, I can't remember who. But they equated him chewing gum slower. If you notice, he was chewing gum the entire time.
Can I just mention this right
and
now? Can I break in?
Go ahead. Breaking news.
Our buddy Teddy Bruschi is coming down Boylston right now as we speak.
Oh,
we're right before the finish line.
What's his pace?
And,
what's he at? Four? Four?
Four and a half? 4:34:15.
There you go. 4:34:15. So it was like sub 4 hours, a goal of his?
So he is coming down Boylston right now as we speak. Teddy's going to join us, but... It'll take a while. He's got to get the.
I want him right after the finish line to come here.
You know what I want? Oh, I see him. There he is right there.
Oh, hi, Teddy. Hi.
There he is.
Teddy Bruschi right there. Don't stop, Teddy.
Keep going. You've got to cross the finish line.
You'll slow the line. You'll slow your feet. God, his time's going to be off. He's slowing down.
Yeah, you got to get under 4 minutes.
You know what I want? I want one of those. I want to feel that blanket, that like spaceman blanket they give you.
It's just a blanket.
You know what it is?
It's very thin.
It's like that silver. What is it? Honestly, what is that thing made of? What does it feel like?
Tinfoil? Like a tinfoil, yeah.
So they put those things on you when they take x-rays at the dentist.
You want one of those?
No, that's not the same thing. It's too heavy. That thing at the dentist is heavy.
Is that what you want?
Things light.
I tell you what.
I want to wrap myself up in it and see what it feels like.
Hold on. He's going on vacation after today. He's going to a very warm climate. We'll get you one of those. You take it and you wrap yourself on the beach in one of those.
Yeah.
Tell me how you feel.
No.
Yeah, what's Sean's issue with Aruba?
didn't like Aruba.
The happiest island on the planet. He doesn't like Aruba.
He didn't like it at all.
Is he a vacation snob is what he is?
He said, off the air, I want to say it on the air, but off the air, he said it's basically a warmer weather Revere Beach.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a cynical
snob.
Son of a bitch.
He's a vacation snob.
He is a cynical son of a bitch.
Oh, I only go to St. Bart's. St. Martin.
Here's Teddy's finish time was 4:35:35. Right. So he had a pace good. Of
Where's
10 minutes
line?
And 31
right here,
seconds.
For God's sakes?
Right, you don't know? Right here.
Well, I know. I don't know how far down because look like he turned into 11.
It's 100 yards.
Oh, it looked like he just turned in and walked in the door.
Yeah. He didn't look tired at all.
Huh?
He didn't look tired.
No.
It's like he had a pace and he was just going to just, you know, casually
he
just
picked
run
up
a marathon.
The pace as the race went on.
Bradford, Bradford when he finished.
You want to see where Bradford was? Let's check out where Bradford is.
That pace slowed down. I said over under.
No, Bradford was starting to move. He was.
All right.
All right,
hold on. So if Bradford actually...
Here's Bradford right now. Bradford is 23.8 miles into it.
Oh, you know what they say about those last couple.
They're a bitch.
I put the over-under at 517. Let's see what he does.
He's going to finish at 411.
That's pretty good, though.
Same thing.
4 hours?
411. Yeah,
that's
4 hours
excellent.
And 11.
You know what would be really great? If somebody had to carry him across, and the next thing you know, it was Minahan.
Why don't you do it? Why don't
Minahan
you do it?
And Minahan, Mutt.
Yeah.
Minahan and Mutt. Minahan comes in, and I got you, buddy. Yeah, I got you. I won't leave you behind. We're friends again.
You'll drag him. He'll take him down a side street.
Just leave him there.
There's one guy jacked up.
By the way, this was the best thing about the today, about Tiger Woods yesterday. I mean, talk about how bizarre it was that there were males who were claiming that they were crying. It's a little too much.
I believe it, but...
Donald Trump today tweeting out here 2 hours ago.
Got to chime in.
Spoke to Tiger Woods to congratulate him on the great victory he had in yesterday's Masters and to inform him that because of his incredible success and comeback in sports and, more importantly, in life, I will be presenting him with the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
God bless.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I enjoyed Tiger Woods. It's a great, phenomenal comeback.
That's right.
I'm not sure the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That might be a little too much. Just a little too much.
Hey,
maybe?
You drive the ball really well. I'm going to give you the Medal of Freedom.
So I was actually a very good athlete.
So is he going to have him at the White House and serve him cheeseburgers?
Yes.
Don't you have to help? I mean, I'm sure... Tiger used to be really involved in charity and all this other stuff. I'm assuming he still does that.
I would think so.
But usually someone who gets that is who? Give me the last three people. Do you know who are the last people to get that award? I'm curious to see what they did for the world in order to get the Medal of Freedom. What did they do?
Didn't Obama have like some artists, like entertainers and stuff like that?
So is that what it is?
Yeah.
So it's really not a big deal.
Award they're going to give them, I'm like, that's cool. But if you tell me who got them and what they've done in the past, that might make you feel better.
So like Bono. Bono got one?
Yeah. I would say this. Brady for putting the hat in his locker.
He got
Brady
one.
Will get one.
Brady,
down the road, Brady
here's the
will
best
get
thing,
one.
Brady, if Trump is still in the White House... When Brady retires, he's getting the Medal of Freedom.
He will.
He is getting the freaking Medal of Freedom.
I won't
be surprised if Kraft gets one also.
All you have to do is be supportive. Okay, who are these? Trump. These are the ones Trump gave out?
The past Medal of Freedoms.
Okay, this is Babe Ruth.
Hulk Hogan.
Shut up. He did not.
Babe Ruth.
I like you.
Yeah.
Who else?
Justice Scalia. That makes sense. Alan Page? Is that the football player?
Alan Page. Yeah.
Senator Orrin Hatch, that makes sense. Dr. Miriam Adelson, that makes sense. Roger Staubach.
Okay.
So they did. You give them the athletes and stuff like
he's
that.
Them
so just, I mean, it's like Pez.
Yeah. kind of, not really. But
oh, here we go. Here we go with Obama. Oprah Winfrey.
Ooh, sure. Who is that?
I got it.
See,
Oprah's book club. I mean, that's
and
important.
Yet he did some of the same stuff. Senator Edward Kennedy,
so
I get that.
He gave one to
Jack
Oprah.
Kemp, I get that.
Trump's going to give one to what, Springer?
Springer.
With all his work that he's done.
Really?
Tom Brokaw?
What is that?
Oh
what is
God.
That? What is
Sidney
that?
Portier?
What would you compare that award to?
What oh, my God.
What would you compare that to?
Do you know how many of these Obama gave out?
What the hell?
Look,
for
look
a while.
At these. Been there for
Trump
a while.
Another
Holy,
4 years.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Look at the list.
Ellen DeGeneres.
There must be like 500 people. Ellen DeGeneres. Oh, Bill Cosby.
Can we take
that was George Bush.
No?
That was George
Bush. Is OJ
Bush.
On there?
Bill Cosby.
Is OJ on there?
I wonder if they take it down. Do they take it back?
Oh,
do you lose
so
it?
So really, it's not a big deal.
Things go bad in your life?
So hey.
A game yesterday against the Indiana Pacers.
Great accomplishment.
Luke came out with his
prediction on Thursday or Friday show, and you said you thought the series was going seven.
Yes.
Can I just say this? Because the big fella said it was going to be a four-game sweep, I believe.
Yeah.
I would say this. If this series goes seven, then the Celtics have bigger issues, bigger problems than any of us thought.
Well, I think they have big issues.
There's no way the series should go seven.
It shouldn't go
None.
Seven.
None.
You're missing the point. It absolutely
Five.
Should not go seven.
Five.
You know, but
they're not going to lose a game. That team is so bad. And we all – here's the thing. So we all watch the games, but I remember when we had Scal on, he really broke it down as about as simply as possible.
And he tried to reel in the green teamers yesterday.
He tried to rationalize with them and explained it to them as politely as he could.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't – no.
What you saw yesterday – matter of fact, if anything, you should be – concerned at what you saw in the first half and the approach in game one by the Boston
Celtics. That's what I'm saying.
They weren't ready to play.
Like in the third quarter, Indiana was what? 2-for-19 shooting.
They're awful.
2-for-19. They scored 8 points.
Lou, let's go back to the All-Star break. Indiana has the worst record of any of the playoff teams, Eastern Conference and Western Conference, since the All-Star break. They lost their best player, their All-Star player. They were gutsy, and they won a few games, but in the end, they had more losses than any other playoff team. You got an 8 seed. Boston got an 8 seed.
Well, my point is that, you know, when you... You look at Indiana, when you get 8 points in the third quarter, to me, that's like a 27-30 point W, isn't
yes.
it? I mean, shouldn't it be?
Yes.
8 points in a quarter, 2-for-19?
Yeah.
You know, and you're down at half, and then in the fourth quarter, what do you do? What
right.
the Celtics do? They kind of make it interesting. Not that it ever really was, I mean, 10 points, but you put up 84 points, and that team shoots 33%.
Celtics shot 36% in the game, but here's another one. They scored, what, 84 points?
Mm-hmm.
Celtics 9 times this year have scored under 100 points. You know what their record is?
Probably 0-9.
0-9.
Yeah. Oh, they didn't win any games.
None.
0-9. Say, yeah.
So they played a team yesterday that you could score 84 and you were okay with. You could still win. And did you see how poor they were at the free throw line? They shot like 57% from the free throw line.
They had a franchise record for the least amount of turnovers per game, and they were giving it up like crazy to start the game. Were they nervous? Were they tight? And the other thing, when you look at the Pacers, there's a reason why they're being called tough and physical, because they have no choice but to be tough and physical. They have to be tough and physical.
Yeah.
They have to be scrappy.
No question. I mean, Collison is still hurt. He's not 100%. Bogdanovich still has a hip problem. He's nowhere close to 100%. This is amazing. So the Pacers scored 74 for the game. Do you know how many Milwaukee had at the half in their game against Detroit?
Probably 60.
They had 70. They had 70.
Oh, that game was over, though.
So you tell me you're going to be able to get away with
no.
No. No way you're getting away with 84 against Milwaukee. All right, I promise you, we get to the phone calls. The lines are loaded. We get to you coming up next at 617-779-7937. We're doing it live from the Lenox Hotel. Teddy's team is here. Teddy's going to be here at about 4:30. He just crossed the finish line. And again, we get back to your phone calls next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.